So it's 3:30, and I'm back in camp. I still have a bit of time left before I need to start preparing for the night. And this is usually the time when one must do necessary maintenance to the vehicle or to camp equipment, and of course make sure one can get through the night in safety. But I've made myself a cup of tea, and I'm just sitting and enjoying that with a rusk. And I'm looking out over the veld around me and thinking about today's walk. It was without incident. I didn't see anything except for a pale chanting goshawk harassing a crow overhead. And of course, one could think of that as uninteresting. But what I did see a lot of was trees. Now, on the African savanna, trees are overabundant. There are billions upon billions of them, like in forests all over the world. But the difference between the African savanna and most other forests is that the trees are so incredibly varied. Well, the vegetation is so incredibly varied. And the trees, they don't only differ between species. Each individual tree is completely different from the next of the same species. So it makes for endless and incredible variety. The trees that I see around me, they are the ones that made it through a history of, what, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200 years. And they've braved all the hardships of the African savanna. Violent storms where they might have feared for their lives, only to see a brother tree struck by a bolt of lightning and shattered into splinters. And strong winds that tear off branches, and strong animals that push them over halfway or completely, or tear off branches. And while they were young, they had to endure the sparring of animals like eland and gemsbok and buffalo. But each time, they just patiently recovered and redirected themselves to become the unique specimens that I see around me now. There's so much to admire about their attitude. They're always there, ready to be of service to whatever living thing comes to them. And if they're not needed, they're quite happy to stand and wait patiently without resentment to be of some use, be it food or shelter or shade or even wood. They're a vital part of what makes the African savanna unique and alluring to me. But they're so easily overlooked because they're so plentiful. We walk past them all the time and we hardly notice them. But from a biological perspective, they are marvels. And there are so many things that I wonder about them. How did they devise the strategy of thorns? The thorns are little marvels in themselves. Some of them are pointed long, some of them are pointed but short, some of them are hooked, and they very carefully designed, and they are highly effective. They have this tempered wood that is incredibly strong. When they needed, they usually do not miss their mark. To cut like a lancet, to penetrate like a syringe, and their pods, despite all these thorns, how did they arrive at the solution of placing them at places where they can be reached and plucked by browsers? How did they arrive at the solution of making them tasty to browsers? How did they arrive at the solution of not having them digested within the browser's digestive system, but be deposited in the dung at a place where they can germinate, or have them drop down to the ground where other browsers will pick them up. Well, how did they arrive at the solution to the cold of this area? By withdrawing the sap from their outermost limbs, which are vulnerable, so that they don't freeze over during the sub-zero temperatures at night. I know that some have actually devised specialized antifreeze solutions that prevent freezing, the ones that retain their leaves. And then there are those that secrete extra tannins when they are attacked by browsers, so that they become indigestible and browsers are turned away from them and leave the area. And we now know that they communicate with each other, not only through the fungi under the soil, the mycorrhiza of the fungi, but also through exuding odors that are picked up by others, apparently. And I wonder often, don't they make any sounds, perhaps, that are picked up by their neighbors? There are so many more questions that one can ask from a scientific point of view. And no doubt the botanists will have, in many cases, precise answers to these questions. And often they will say, oh, it's due to evolution. And no doubt a very weighty theory. And sometimes I think, from what I see in the wild, given too much weight, I tend to allow a little bit of mystery into how they arrived at these incredible beings that they are. What is it in them that so draws us to them? Is it only structural? Is it only convenience? Or is there some other reason, some other attraction, carnal that we're not even aware of, that makes us so comfortable with trees and makes us seek them out and spend time under them and around them and wander through their stands? They are fascinating beings, and I absolutely love them.